Well, it is good to see those of you who are out with us this morning, although we do have a great number who are sick and not able to be with us. So we need to do what we can for those individuals. Our Wednesday night series is here. Starts Wednesday night with Stacy Durham coming to speak to us on being a New Testament church when it comes to matters of doctrine. And so looking forward to the series and the men who are coming. They've taken time out of their busy schedule, some of them, to come be with us. So please, let's all make plans to be here and to be attentive to what they have to say. And let's use this series to help us as a congregation here grow and better understand God's Word. Along those lines, there is still one night needed on the meal list. So if you're able to take care of that, we would greatly appreciate that. And I have again left the teacher stuff at home, and I apologize. So maybe if all of you text me this afternoon, I'll remember it tonight. I remember the nursery teacher for Wednesday night, and I've already talked to her, but I don't remember the other two. You're the nursery, yeah. Kathy's the nursery. I don't remember who the other two are. Darlene's preschool. I think it's Emily for Wednesday, but I'm not certain. I'll have to double check it. So, and I will try my best to have the list here tonight for the whole series for everyone. All right. As has been mentioned, my work group needs to meet this morning. If you're interested in joining the work groups, I plan to have the next quarter, because the next quarter is about here. I plan to have the next quarter work groups out next week or the week after. So if you would like to join the work groups, or even if you'd like to not be in the work groups anymore, just let me know. I think those of us who are in the work groups have a good time getting together with each other and getting things accomplished. So I encourage you to be challenged to join the groups if you're not already a part of one. So just see me and we'll be glad to get you in with our groups. Teachers, if you need anything for next quarter, I need to know by a week from tomorrow. So March the 9th. I need to know what you need by March the 9th for the new quarter. I have those sheets prepared, but I left them at home as well. So hopefully I'll have it all here tonight for the teachers for Wednesday night series and the next quarter. All right, let's get into our lesson this morning. I want to talk very briefly this morning about being commissioned to work. Being commissioned to do a personal work. Many Christians today, unfortunately, are not interested in doing personal work. Some ask, why should I be concerned about it? Others may reason it seems to produce such little results. We tried and we tried for years. No one's ever responded, so we're done. We're done trying. You know, when Benjamin Franklin was, when he wished to interest the people of Philadelphia in street lighting, he didn't try to persuade them by just talking about it. He hung a beautiful lantern on a long bracket in front of his home. He kept the glass highly polished. Every evening at the approach of dusk, he carefully lit the wick. People saw the light from a distance, and when they walked in its light, found that it helped them to avoid sharp stones on the pavement. Others placed light at their homes, and soon Philadelphia recognized the need for street lighting. And I said lightning earlier, and I meant to say lighting. Excuse me. Ben Franklin showed his example of how light would assist those around, and that's how it caught on to begin with. As others learn of the peace and the joy that come in Jesus Christ, they will recognize their need for Him as well, hopefully. And our example in word and in what we do each and every day may be just what someone else is waiting for. And so it's not always about going and talking to others, although that is a part of the work. The part of it is how we live our life. It's Bible fact or biblical fact that Jesus Christ commissioned His disciples to do personal work. That's where Robbie read for us just a moment ago. And as a result, we can learn that we in turn have that same obligation to carry that work on. It did not end when the disciples who were with Him passed away. That work continues still today. Because what we want to point out this morning is a few points. The first being that Jesus commanded His disciples to seek those who were lost. He let it be known that he had all authority and therefore expected his disciples to obey his instructions. Robbie read for us Matthew 28, 18 through 20, familiar passages to us. Let me read Luke 24, 46 through 48 as well. Then he said to them, thus it is written and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Folks, they didn't take this charge lightly, his disciples. Obedience to this command was proof of their love to him. He told them in John chapter 14 that they would know that they were his disciples if they had love for one another and if they loved him. He talked about that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, when he's talking about those who calling on his name, Lord, Lord, and only the ones that have done the will of his Father are those who will be in heaven. It was a command that they respect the authority of Jesus Christ. It was a command that they follow through on his directions, on his instructions. Jesus Christ commissioned them to seek those who were lost. We too today need to seek those outside of our body. There are individuals around this very country area here, very around this very county, who are lost individuals who need Jesus Christ. Who will go to them? You know, I think back to Isaiah chapter 6, when that great vision appears before Isaiah and he sees the seraphim and he sees the angel with his wings and he says, who will go to our people? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Who will go to the lost of Dixon County? Who will go to the lost of Charlotte, of Dixon, of White Bluffs? Who will go to the lost of Middle Tennessee? Because if we all pass the buck, no one will go. Often today we think about sending people into foreign lands, and there is absolutely a need for that, but folks, there are people here who need us. There are people within a mile of this building who need the gospel. Who's going to go to them? We get letters all the time for individuals who are seeking support in other places. And that's a great ability that we have to support them and the work that they're doing there. But there's work that needs to be done here too. And we don't need to get caught up in all that we're doing in other places and neglect here. Who's going to go to the lost around here? Who's going to seek them out? Who's going to talk to them? Because if you'll notice, another point that we're making in this commission, the New Testament describes this commission as glad tidings. We see that the gospel, what the gospel does for lost souls and those who surrender their lives to the Savior, is truly something of glad tidings. The gospel literally means good news or glad tidings. We have a great news story here that one can receive the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. As Peter points out in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. As is pointed out in Acts chapter 17. As is pointed out in Acts chapter 8 with Simon the sorcerer. As is pointed out in Luke chapter 24 where we just read that repentance and remission of sins must begin from Jerusalem. But there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Man oftentimes will not forgive you. They will instead hang it over your head and wag it like a bone in front of you saying, remember what you did to me? I got your cards. Jesus Christ forgives. There's a great gift in forgiveness. One is the recipient of a new joy. In Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, after Peter has concluded his sermon, and those have been baptized and become part of the church, verses 46 and 47 say, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. He says in verse 46 and 47, they ate with gladness and simplicity of heart. They were joyous because of this new family that had been given to them by Christ. It gives an individual a reason for living and a renewed confidence in the face of death. You think of Stephen as he's being put to death at the end of his address in chapter 7 of Acts. And when you get down to it, is Stephen upset? Is Stephen angry? Is Stephen worried? Or is he ready to go on? Because in the face of death, he has confidence in his standing with Jesus Christ. He can face death boldly because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Because of this good news in the early Christians' lives, they had a desire to share it with others. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, we all know verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But this chapter is on considering what is temporary versus what is eternal. And you get down to verse 14, and Paul says, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that we who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Now notice verse 20. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What does it mean to be ambassadors? What is the first thing that maybe we think about when we think of the word ambassadors? We think of ambassadors to another nation, protecting U.S. interests in that country, trying to foster a relationship between our country and their country. The local chamber here has chamber ambassadors. And their goal is to help the chamber and the community here function cohesively together, and to bring people into the chamber who would be benefited by it. A lot of universities have developed a program called student ambassadors, where they are students who have understood the benefit of that university and are sent out maybe with a recruiter to a high school or to a college fair to speak on the school and to try to bring other students in. Or inside programs they'll have student ambassadors, maybe of a certain sorority or a fraternity or of a civic group on campus, trying to bring in other students who understand the benefit of those organizations and try to get someone else to see it and how that can assist them. If we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, then we're to be working in our communities, helping others to see His kingdom and helping others to see the benefits that are there, and try to work cohesively together to where others can receive the same benefits that Christ gives us. Another word for ambassadors are spokesmen. We are Jesus Christ's ambassadors. We are to be going out and teaching others about Christ and about His blessings. You know, why do these people, the lady who brought me into the Chamber of Commerce is a chamber ambassador here. And we said, she talked about all the wonderful things about the chamber. Why does she do that? Why does she take that time to try to bring me into the chamber? Because she saw that I was a new person starting a new business here in Dixon County, and thought that the chamber could help me grow it and find clients and build connections that way. Why do these students who are student ambassadors of universities try to bring other students into those schools? Because they understand the value of that university. And they understand the benefit of that university. And they want someone else to experience the same. We, as ambassadors of Christ, are to understand what Christ has done for us and want to bring others in who can be benefited by that. That is our goal as His ambassadors. That we read that again, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We're working to try to bring others to a relationship with God. That is our work in this commission. Because an important part to note is that the world is lost without the good news, without Jesus Christ. The fact is that sinners are lost if they do not obey the good news of salvation. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, "For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will repay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Those who do not know God, those who have not obeyed God, those who are without the gospel are lost when this world ends. And it is up to us to teach those that we can about Jesus Christ, that they may not be found lost on the day of judgment. In Mark 16:16, a verse we all know, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes not will be condemned." Those who have not believed in Jesus Christ, those who have not obeyed Jesus Christ, will not be saved when it comes to the day of judgment. The gospel is the only way that an alien sinner can enter into a proper relationship with God. What does Paul say in Romans 1? "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation unto everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." That is the only way one can come into a relationship with God the Father, with Jesus Christ, is through obedience to this gospel, this good news. And that is on each of us to go out and spread to those around us. Men cannot obey the gospel unless they've been taught it, unless they've read it. Romans 10 makes that clear. A verse we say, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We need men and women to go teach others about Christ, about God, through their words and also through their actions. Because that one may be the only way some individuals know about God. Who told you about Christ and its gospel? You know, maybe several of us in here are lucky enough to have been raised by godly parents. Or a godly parent. And that's how we were taught about Christ. But there are probably some in here who were not raised in the church. How did you hear about Christ and His Word? And then let me ask you, who's going to tell others? You know, I was lucky to be raised by godly parents. However, my dad had only been a Christian about 6 months when I was born. And my mother had only been back in the Lord's church for about 3 or 4 years. I was lucky to be raised by godly parents. But I've always been very grateful to the lady down the street, who she and her son got my permission from my parents for my brother to attend with them. And then that led mom to going back to the church. And then that led dad to being converted. Who's going to go tell others? Who's going to be the one to go speak to others? Because if the only ones that we're converting are the ones born to already members, we're in trouble. Let me make another point. In this commission, we have an obligation to share the gospel. It is not just that God has commanded us, but we have the obligation. Because disregarding His commandments are just as wrong as committing things that are forbidden. James makes that point in James chapter 4. verse 17. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 and 17, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid on me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Soul winning is the best work that a Christian can be engaged in. When we learn the truth and we know the truth, then we ought to want to tell others about it. The problem is, most have not learned what to tell. Most have not recognized what the benefits are to being a Christian. If you've got a piece of paper, I'd like you to take half a minute and write down the three most important things to you about being a Christian. What are the three most important things to you about being a Christian? Or maybe the three blessings that you count the highest because you're a Christian. Three blessings that have been afforded to you because of your faith in Christ. Now, as you're finishing up your three, look over them for just a second. Let me ask you, how many of those could the person who lives next door to you benefit from? How many of those could a family member who's never obeyed the gospel benefit from? How many of those that you've listed can be benefited by the person you work with? How many of those blessings or those things that you appreciate about being a Christian can benefit others who are outside Christ? And then let me ask you, what are you going to do to tell them about it? How are you going to show them? We have to understand what God has done for us and then utilize that to teach others. Utilize that to be a blessing, if you will, to others. Jesus is our example. In Luke 19, verse 10, he says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." That was his goal, was to seek the lost and save them. You know, the fact is, if we neglect our obligation to spread the gospel, we could be cut off. What does he say in the story of the vine? John 15, verses 1 and 2. "I am the vine, and you are my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." We have a responsibility to conduct ourselves in a manner of righteousness and obedience towards God, towards Christ. And let me finish out by saying in this same point that soul winning ought to become a natural part of our lives. There are things we do that become second nature to us. Someone and I were in here talking the other day, and I don't remember who it was, and I don't even remember the subject. But we were talking about something, and the person said, "I know how to do it, but I only do it once a year. And so it takes me a minute to get it going again and figure it out again." You know, with doing taxes, if you ever wanted to see a comedy show, just come work on the first week of tax season with us. Because when you take off all summer and all fall, that first week is, okay, where does this go again? What have they done to the system? Where does this go? Where does that go? You have to get back into the swing of it when you're not doing it every day. Whereas if you go into an office around this time of year, someone's probably going to have you in and out as quick as possible because we've been doing it so much that our fingers can just fly over the keys. We know where everything is. Soul winning has to become that same type of second nature. If we only do it once or twice a year, it's going to be rusty and awkward. If we're involved in it on a daily basis, it becomes second nature. You know, there are people who can give wonderful speeches, are great public speakers. Some of them are just born with that ability. But for a vast majority of your good public speakers, it's because they do it on a regular basis. And they know how to keep an audience's attention. And they know how to say the right phrases to conduct a beneficial training. They know what words to use and not to use so that it's a memorable and not memorable in a bad way. And to where people come away with a point they wanted. But it's because they do it often enough that it's just second nature. Has anyone ever asked you, how do you do that? How are you able to just do that? And have you ever been able not to really give them a good answer because, well, I do it. That's because it's second nature to you. That's how soul winning has to become for each of us. Just like the vine that naturally bears fruit. That's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 12 through 14. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us to you. Paul in verse 13, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. It's second nature. I believe in Jesus Christ. I understand who he is, therefore I speak about him. Because the reality is, in verse 14, knowing that he who raised Lord Jesus will raise us also and present us with you. There's a confident expectation that Paul has here. And he's reminding individuals of it. And speaking of what? What Jesus says in verse 19, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. I speak of Jesus Christ. I speak of his commandments. I speak of his blessings. Constantly. It has to become second nature, folks, for each of us. The spreading of the gospel is not just a responsibility laid at the preacher's door. It is the responsibility of each of us as Christians. We all need to talk to others about God. We all have individuals that we can seek out. Jesus told us to pray for laborers so souls can be harvested. He said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of harvest that he may send laborers into his harvest. We all have a work that we've been commissioned to do. My question to you this morning is, are you slacking off on your responsibilities? Or are you following through on the command that God's given us? The most important part is, today's a new day, and tomorrow is another one. If we've been slacking off on our duties up to this point, we can start working for Him now. And so if you're here this morning, and you need to obey God and start today as a brand new day as a Christian, or if you need to come back to Him, or you need assistance, or whatever it may be, won't you let us know as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.